Hello, everyone. It is nice to be with you. It has been a minute. It has been a minute. Life gets in the way sometimes. Things happen in life. And so I had to step away from the podcast, but only for a little while. And now I'm back and better than ever. Today, I am excited because my guest is one Mr. Cordell Zachary, one of my favorite guys to talk to. So I hope you enjoy. Hello, Mr. Cordell. How are you?
Doing well, sir. It's always great to catch up with the one and only Will, Lamar.
Oh, thanks. There's actually a lot of Wills, but I might be the one and only. It's true. It's so true.
In my eyes, at least.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thanks, buddy. We really miss you. We really miss you. And for anyone listening, Cordell used to be on my team, proud member of the Global Talent Acquisition team here. He has moved on, living in the great city of Atlanta and enjoying everything that has to offer. Now, if you've listened to the podcast at all before, you know that one of the things I always like to talk about is food. I always ask people, hey, you're in an area that I'm not in. There's food there. What kind of things are special about the food where you are at? So tell me, Cordell, I almost said, what does Cordell have to offer? What does Atlanta have to offer that is unique from Michigan?
Yeah, it's really hard to pinpoint because there's the food selection is so eclectic. Like, I've had so much Korean food out here. There's so many different pockets of different cultures with hubs. Like, you'll find Korean food, you'll find Hispanic like restaurants with bodegas attached to it. But if you come to Atlanta, you gotta try the wings. Like, everywhere has wings. The gas station, the mall has like wings and chicken wings and waffles, chicken wings and pancakes. Like, it's a breakfast, it's a dinner, it's an appetizer. Gotta really try the city favorite, lemon pepper wet. So it's a mix of hot sauce and lemon pepper. Like, that's like the key to the city.
That's amazing. I had no idea. Wings?
Wings.
Man, that recipe sounds amazing. And who wouldn't like some gas station wings for breakfast? I think everybody would love some gas station wings for breakfast. That sounds great. But no, seriously, I love wings, and I didn't know that Atlanta was known for that. That's cool, man.
I tried 10 flavors of wings out here. Yeah. So when you come out here, we'll find a wing spot for you.
All right, man. I got to do it. That sounds like a new challenge. So obviously, nice to catch up with you. Nice to talk to you. Just want to chat a little bit about your role and what you're doing now. So if you don't mind, just share a little about what is your role and some of the primary responsibilities. And I'll have some questions from there.
100%. So the role that I was in at Steelcase, it evolved a little bit. It is still, in terms of identifying diverse talent, that's still in my wheelhouse, part of my scope. But now my work focuses on securing and nurturing partnerships with organizations that help us bring in underrepresented talent, and also curating events for those talent to meet with our team and to get to know our organization in an intimate way. So I'm working with organizations who are already doing great work with communities of color. Our role is to try to empower them, to give them a bigger platform to exist. So working in tech, there's a lot of competition in that. Everybody's vying for underrepresented talent, but also there's a lot of resources too. So that gets a little fun.
Well, that's amazing. So you're working with a lot of organizations in the community, doing other things, and like you said, kind of cultivating those relationships. So obviously there's a ton of organizations out there that could probably help in your journey. So how do you, first of all, identify who those organizations might be? And second of all, once you say, hey, this might be someone that we would like to partner with, how do you kind of break the ice, I would say, and help cultivate that relationship?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it starts with our team understanding we are a close partner to the recruiting team. So it's really understanding what's our goal. Are we trying to, generally just fill our talent pipeline with any and all candidates? Are we trying to better support women or non-binary people? Are we looking for an engineering role? Are we dropping in sales numbers of people who are URT, identify as URT. So we start with, like, internally, what is our goal? What's our focus? And let's break that down by quarter. So from there, we start to look at partners that we work year over year with. And also, we open it up to our organization to tell us, like, are you a part of any organizations that you're involved with? Are there any organizations that you heard about? So we really open up the funnel for people to submit and give a suggestion. And then from there, we meet. You know, the good thing about being in tech, I feel like a lot of organizations are open to meeting. So when we're meeting with our partners, they usually are really ecstatic and excited to meet us. They have options of programming at either like going all in or getting just like kind of a taste test. So it's been really fun because I feel like everybody we've reached out to has been receptive. We also use LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a really powerful tool. Just keyword searching what organizations does the incoming talent come from. You know, we ask that when people apply. What organizations are you a part of? So all those things allow us to make sure we're showing up in the right places and putting our best foot forward.
That's awesome. No, I think you bring up a really good point, which is all about clarity on what the goal is, asking that central question. If we refer back to the critical thinking model and what are we really trying to do? I think it's easy for organizations to say, we want to increase our diversity, which is a very ambiguous and nebulous statement, right? So you mentioned just sitting down and identifying what are our goals? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? How do we, and then from there, once you have that identified, kind of building out the roadmap and going from there. So I think that's an important lesson for a lot of folks, because too many times I hear companies saying things like, yeah, we just want to increase our diversity. We don't know what that means or how we're going to do it. We just want to do it. So I think that's cool.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times we get excited because we just supported an organization that supports a diverse group of people. And then we just hang our hat on that. Well, they got classified within this box. We checked it. But if we're not being intentional about it, we're not bringing recruiters that can speak to this talent, if we're not bringing up speakers and champions who can connect with this industry, then we're just doing something just because it looks good and we have a logo on a banner. And I think that's where people get hung up, just trying to get the logo on there and pat themselves on the back. So we're trying not to do that.
That makes perfect sense. And I don't know if you have any insight into this, but I have to believe that the organizations that you're partnering with can tell the difference. Right? Like they can tell the difference between someone who is being intentional, who truly cares about partnering with them and enabling the people within that organization, or just wants to say, hey, investors, look what we just did. We just talked to XYZ, right? I have to imagine there's some sort of differential between those things.
100%. And that's part of our filter too. Like, are their values aligned? And try to look for that. So we're scanning the website. We're looking at people internally who are already a part of this organization. For example, our CEO comes from a family of immigrants. So it was really important for us to work with an organization that championed new Americans and work with them. So like those things, when you had those stories and you connected, we're in meetings, we like to talk about those things. I think partners appreciate that and know that we put in thought. We just didn't just go on their website, reached out to them just because we thought they looked cool. We really put thought and time and effort into choosing them to even have a conversation. So I think they appreciate that. We can use that to help us just nurture the relationship.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, I'm really glad to hear that. And we've obviously seen a huge emphasis put on that, which is very necessary, very, very necessary. So what are some of the things that, I guess, in your role that you've learned about the relationship between, not to put you on the spot, but what are some of the things that you've learned about, the relationship between some of those organizations that are really focused on building relationships, capabilities, empowerment for underrepresented communities, and the big corporate organizations that may employ those folks? Like, what kind of things have you learned? Is there anything that's been eye-opening for you?
Yeah, what I think I've been really interested in, and just learning from their side, I think I used to think that these organizations needed like corporate partners to help them thrive. Like they were, you know, that they were really relying on their corporate partners to keep them afloat, and that they were solely getting something from us. Sometimes I had that vision. They're getting something from us, so they should acquiesce to what we want. Now I'm learning that we get so much insight and opportunity from them. When we're able to go to a conference or when we're supporting an organization, I love the organizations that allow us to do that L&D piece where we can go and they give us, not only are we your sponsor, but we get tickets. Yeah. Now we get so much excitement from people within our organization. Like, oh, I get to go to this conference that I've been wanting to go to for years. They're proud to be there because their organization is sponsoring them. They get to see the organization on a panel, a speaker from their company. So I think when we get feedback, we see a lot of people like, I was just so proud to be a part of this and to see my company represented in such a great light. So it does something there. And then they also get to network and be in these workshops. And it's so fun now because now we see more and more of these conferences in person. So we get so much excitement when we know like one of those bigger conferences or events are coming up and we get to be a part of it because we know our own employees are going to say, let me sign up for that. Let me go there. And they're also being a brand ambassador for us as well while they're there. So I think just seeing the value that they bring to our internal talent has been big for me and also got me excited. I'm like, maybe I can be a part of this organization. It's an opportunity for me to get more involved outside of my just day to day. There are some organizations out there that I can better hone my skills in as well. So I just now see that these partnerships are a two-way street. And once you find that alignment and you all have the same vision, it's going to be the sweet spot.
That makes perfect sense. The two-way street, the mutually beneficial relationship. That sounds amazing. So one of the things that I've seen with various organizations is that we have people like in the organization who say, I am passionate about DEI. I want to promote diversity at XYZ company, but they don't necessarily know how. So do you have any insight on how someone who is with an organization, I mean, maybe they're not part of the HR organization, right? Maybe they're not part of the talent acquisition organization. Maybe they're not part of something where they have talent in their title, but they say they want to contribute. So how can those individuals contribute to the overall cause of promoting people in underrepresented groups?
Yeah, that's a tricky question because I can't imagine all organizations are going to have a menu of ways to get involved. You know, some teams are just getting started in their DEI journey. Some people are excited, but they just don't have the on-ramps to do so. I think our team's goal is to make those opportunities more accessible. So let's say we're looking for panels. Maybe you don't want to be a panelist. Maybe you don't want to be a speaker, but we're going to invite you to the event. And we want you to, as questions come up in the chat, we want you to engage with people in the chat as they're coming up and for you to talk about different things while the event is going on. Or maybe you don't want to be a speaker, but you want to help with resumes, or you want to just man a booth and talk with people one-on-one. Our duty is to help just create that menu of different ways that they can get involved and also enable people as well. Maybe we have a blind spot where it's an organization or a local event that we just don't have on our purview. Our role is to leave like some opportunity and budget so that we can say, oh, this really sounds awesome. We're going to support you in that. So if you want to show up in a place and we're going to support that in what you see fit and what you're comfortable with. So I think that is one part of the team's job to have those opportunities available, make them accessible and visible. Honestly, as a person who was just excited about it, I think it's just seeking those opportunities and going after them and making people aware of what your wants and needs. I think a lot of times you have to, I think closed mouths don't get fed. You have to be vocal. You have to push your team to be a part of this work. We know that all teams within an organization, they have a duty to be an ambassador and also a champion in the work of inclusion. So I think once you have a team that is saying, hey, I'm willing to support your work, it's kind of your duty to say, all right, I found this opportunity. I'm going to push and tell you why there's ROI for us to be there. So I think, again, it's you need like the on-ramp to do so and the drive to kind of push the initiative.
No, that's awesome, man. Thank you. And you said something that really resonates with me, which is that this is not simply a talent organization drive or initiative, this is everybody's responsibility, right? This is not, that doesn't belong to just the folks that recruit or just the folks that are your HR business partners. We all need to be part of it if we're going to move it forward. So that's incredible, man. Thank you.
It's really good. And I just want to say, and as I think about it, I feel like we talked about this even when we were like starting some of our DEI work, that, you know, everybody, you don't have to do these massive things. It's little conversations, it's little call outs. Those typically, you know, result into cultural shifts. So I don't want people to think it's the big things, you know, it's the little conversations, it's the little nudges that help move the organization forward.
Okay. So, obligated to say this to everyone listening as a PSA, or public service announcement. If you have a choice of internet providers and you are considering Xfinity, just don't. Like, in an era where everything is related to our connectivity and many of us work from home or at least in a hybrid work model, having your internet go out every day or 2 days is a significant inconvenience. And so don't do it. Just don't do it. It's bad. It's bad for you. Anyways, Cordell, I don't remember where we were. Let's go back. The good thing is I can edit all of this, although sometimes I leave it in because it's just funny. Right,
it's just good, like, stuff to have there. Yeah, it's realness.
You're just like, okay, look, what's going on? It's not like I'm on Dateline or anything. Like, I'm just a dude in my basement with a microphone. Like, it's fine. So, anyway, besides screw Xfinity, let's talk a little bit more about partnerships with community organizations and how important they are. So, obviously, we have been going through a journey where we have really tried to expand our relationship with a lot of community organizations and try to understand what's really important to them. And it seems to differ quite a bit. So as we, I think, reach out and talk to these groups, talk to these people, understand what's important to them, is there anything you would suggest in terms of just getting to know what it is that really are their goals and what kind of value you can provide to them?
I think that's tough because sometimes you just don't align. Sometimes you got to be okay with saying, you do some awesome work, we just don't have the capacity or the scope to support you. And that's okay. One thing that I really like to do is try to understand, if you had an example of a partner who has done amazing work that you really enjoyed the relationship, What does that look like? What does that feel like? And sometimes when they frame it in that story, you know, type of like setup, you can really uncover like, they really like organization that allows them to come into the office and get to meet people one-on-one in real life. They enjoy doing the coffees and actually chatting in person. So this is how I'm going to engage them. That's going to be our next meeting in person. Or they're like, you know what, we had a reoccurring meeting and that really helped us stay on track, so now it's like, oh, let's set a reoccurring meeting. So I think those things of like understanding their style and their approach, even giving them a call, I found like when I'm calling a partner of like, hey, just want to give you an update, instead of going through email and adding that personal touch, it seems to like open up doors and opportunities and a chance for them to get you know you like personally. I think sometimes we're so used to like virtual calls and meetings that we forget like those personal touches mean a lot to them. So I think from there, that's going to help you uncover what they really want and are looking for, what maybe the barriers are. So yeah, that's something I may suggest to somebody trying to really get to know a partner.
Sure. That's great. And you've talked about a number of things like providing professional development resources, helping people understand and refine the different tools they'll need to find employment and really build their own personal skills and professional capabilities. So have you noticed any themes, or does it really, really vary based on the group? You know, are there things where you see, like, one of the things that we know here locally is that a lot of groups are saying to us like, hey, we have got a lot of first generation students, and what they need is just a general understanding of how to present themselves in the corporate world and how to build a resume and how to interview and how to do these things. Is that pretty common in what you're seeing, or is it really just dependent upon the organization and the situation?
Yeah, I think it depends on the organization. I think one thing that people are trying to get out of like engagement is hearing from diverse leader voices. So people are looking, they're in these organizations or in these programs, they're looking to upskill or move up or get more agency in their work. And they want to hear from real live people, successful people, people who are can talk to them in a specific way and motivate them. So they're one looking for those like real world examples of like, how did you do this? I want to hear from your executive team. Please bring in a director level speaker that can help me in my own journey. And also, I think they're looking for more sense of community. So maybe, again, providing those networks, we're like looking to give more of our internal talent exposure to some of the external talent that we're trying to engage with. So sometimes they're just looking for an outlet. So they're looking to get involved in network and workshop with other people within their industry or industry that they want to be in. So we've been kind of flirting with the idea of just doing more of those, just networking where we can bring our teams and also other interested people from those organizations that we're sponsoring and just networking. People are just looking for an outlet, for a sense of community to talk. So sometimes we're trying to throw all these things where we're just trying to talk at them and give them the spiel. But you know, sometimes that magic just happens when we just show up and have a simple conversation. So, but yeah, I think those are some things that I found like interesting. I was thinking about this all wrong, you know?
Yeah. And I think you said a couple of really important things there, which is representation is important. People from underrepresented groups want to hear from people who have faced the same adversity, the same challenges that they face, and have quote unquote made it, right? Have figured it out and moved up the corporate ladder. So if you don't have someone in your organization that you can point to and say, hey, here's someone that comes from this group that made it happen, you're going to fight an uphill battle. You need to be able to show that it is capable within your organization. It's something that can happen. Representation is important. It's one of those things, we talk about it a lot in interview teams. We talk about it a lot in other things. Like, you can't just tell people that they need is not the right word, but that they should be part of your organization. Right? You need to be able to show real world examples of how they might be able to flourish within your organization. And if you can't do that, you're going to struggle. And I think the sooner that companies figure that out, the more successful they will be. Sorry, went on a little bit of a rant there, but just wanted your thoughts on that and what you might think.
No, you're 100% right, Will. This was a real life example of where we thought we wanted to support this conference and we were going to go all out. We were going to throw everything at it. Then we were like, oh, we get an opportunity to host our workshop and have a speaker. Then we looked internally at the team we wanted to highlight. They were like, honestly, we don't have, we needed a woman at their leadership level. And for the team, they didn't have any representation of a woman on their team that was at that leadership level. And that made us pause. And, you know, just those real life examples of, well, we're going to sit this one out in terms of speaking. We'll do everything else. But it was a better kind of
right, a
sign that we needed to be here. We need to engage with this organization because they specialize working with executive women in this certain industry, with a certain skill set. So you're right. We don't have the opportunity to show that or a real life example. You shouldn't go up there and try to fake the funk and try to challenge, you know, champion it.
Yeah.
But we can't show the work ourselves. So totally ran into that this week.
Yeah, man, it's 2022. You can only say you're working on it for so long, right? Like, at some point you got to say we're there. Like, you can't say just we're working on it forever. And that's not to discourage any company that's thinking about, hey, we want to be better. And so we're going to make efforts to do it. I just think it's something that people, companies, executives need to be aware of, that this is something that folks pay attention to. It's not just a passage written in a book about diversity. It's real life. Like it's something that people can connect to. And so we need to understand that. Cool, man. So I'm going to totally switch gears here a little bit. You mentioned to me earlier, so I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, that you were thinking about or have started a vlog. Now, vlog is a foreign term to me because I'm old, but I think what it means is like a video blog, meaning like instead of writing stuff, because we all know that young people can't spell or write anymore. So instead what they do is they put themselves on camera and they talk about how they're feeling and, you know, the latest in, I don't know, whatever young people talk about today. The latest in, I don't know, you're going to have to help me. So tell me, you know, I had to have a bitter old man segment in this. Can you tell me a little bit about the vlog? Because here's why I say that. There's a lot of content out there, but I think sometimes there's content that's really unique and a little bit insightful. And so if there are people that could relate to what you are doing, I think it'd be cool to point them in your direction and just hear a little bit more about that.
100%. You're right with the premise. You know, it's unscripted. You know, it was funny. I was recording a video the other day that was scripted for a project that I was doing for TLP, actually. And it had all these wordy words. It was like stanzas. And it took me like 2 hours to do the video because I was messing up. So clearly, us millennials are not good with words. Whenever scripted words are there, it just frustrates us. But vlogs are a bit of a free-form media that really depicts real life on a day-to-day. Simple things. You could do pranks. You could do food challenges, mukbangs. You could do trips.
Hold up. What was the last one you said?
A mukbang. You know what that is?
I do not know what that is. Please tell me what that is. Yeah.
It is when you eat an egregious amount of food and you talk. You just talk and eat. Like, I just bought 100 nuggets from Chick-fil-A. We're going to eat 100 nuggets and talk about how our day was. But it's so unique.
How is that a thing, Cordell? How is that a thing?
I'm going to send you a mukbang. He gets like millions of views every week. It's fascinating. It is fun. Imagine. You just eat food and talk. Like, it's great.
All right, man. All right. Like, listen, I'm trying not to be that get off my lawn guy. Like, I'm trying to be down with some of the latest trends. But with that said, I just have to go on record as saying that if eating 100 nuggets and talking about your day is something cool, you need more education. That's all I'm going to say. Like something happened in your life that didn't go quite right. That's all I'm going to say. Like there's something.
I don't know.
Like getting enough hugs. Somebody didn't, you know, like there was something that happened. Like if that's not directed to you personally, I'm just saying like, that's how that goes.
It's kind of like, you know, our generation is all screens. So when you look at, we are used to streaming. This new generation is used to streaming networks. They're used to videos on their phone. It's way less work to pull up a YouTube and just let it go, let it shuffle. So having this interesting content of like, I wonder what it's like to go to Barbados. I would love to see a vlog about that. I'm going to take a trip to this new museum, and I wonder what it's going to look like. So it's really cool to see. Like, I want to see the perspective, the POV of somebody doing this thing. So our role in this content game is to convey that in an interesting way of like, what does it mean for a new millennial today in 2022 who has been there for a couple of years, trying out new things, or living together? They moved to a new city. I might be going through something similar, so I'm gonna look at them. They might give me some clarity. So things like that.
Right. So there's a lot of new, and you're kind of figuring it out together. And what does that journey look like? Yeah, that's really cool. That's cool. Do you have a name for it yet? Or are you still working on that? I don't know. Do still vlogs have names? See, like, I don't
even...
Yeah,
they do. They do. Okay. Like, now it's just our like, names. It's Tanya and Cordell. We call it Tanya and Dell, our nicknames. And I think from there, if we find something that we really like, we might change it. But it's kind of the typical, like, couples vlog name. But it might evolve. You never know. It might become a brand.
Yeah. Have you thought going more celebrity style with it? Like, Kadel or... Coriana, yeah, or something like that. Have you thought about that, or is that not on in the books?
See, I've been like pitching this one. So, like, my girlfriend's name starts with a TA. My name starts with a CO. So I just said like Taco, something Taco. I think we're gonna make something Taco. I think it'll be amazing. Man. Look at it. It's there. We did it.
Dude, that's genius. That's genius. Like,
tell her that.
It's genius. Man, who wouldn't listen to any vlog or watch any vlog called, well, anything that had the word taco in it? That sounds amazing to me. That's,
put it anywhere.
Dude, I think you're a marketing genius. That's amazing. I love it. Well, thanks for joining me and letting me take up way too much of your time because of my Xfinity Wi-Fi connection. For the record, there is a 1 in 1 billion chance that the CEO of Xfinity is listening to this. But if so, please take a long walk off of a short pier and do it soon. You are killing me. It's 2022. Everything I do is on the internet. All I want is connectivity. Just help me out, man. Help me out. I'm going to look up this guy. I'm going to call him out later.
Insert AT&T U-verse blog of ad right there. You never know. That might be your way in.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you are an internet service provider and you would like to sponsor the Recruiting Nerd podcast, this is your opportunity. Like, I would absolutely do it. But in all sincerity, man, Cordell, thank you so much. You know, I think the world of you and miss you every day. Love having you on, hearing about what you're doing. Hope we stay in touch. And when you get more information on your vlog or other things you're doing and you want to share it, please do. I'll put it on the website, episode notes, whatever needs to happen. We'll, you know, we're in this together as content creators, I would say. So please share, man. Love to spread the word about the great stuff that you're doing.
For sure. I appreciate being on the show. You always know I look up to you and love talking to you, and I love what you're doing with the podcast. I've been really enjoying the guests. So just honored that you will bring me on, and you will be the first to get the Tani and Dale link to the YouTube page.
Taco, baby. Taco. Everybody Locking remember. It. Taco Atlanta. Remember it. That will do it for today. I would like to thank Cordell for his time as well as his insights. I will make sure to include information about his new vlog in the episode notes, so please take some time to check that out. If you'd like to help me out, well, the best thing you can do is spread the word about the Recruiting Nerd podcast. So again, thank you for listening, and as always, much love.
Bye!